Their lips will say one thing. Their heart's completely saying something else. Their talk is saying one thing. Their walk is going another direction. There's many people this morning that is living a lie. Somebody asked one time, they said, why do more people go to the movies? Y'all help me out over here, would you? Best work. Nobody, I don't want nobody else getting up, okay? Nobody else. Nobody else over here. Nobody else over there. You can sit here and listen. That's the devil telling you to get up while I'm preaching. I mean, it ain't going to kill you to sit there and listen to me. And for all of you that think I'm mean, you're thinking wrong. Now listen, ask some of my friends. And I want to tell you what this morning, somebody asked a question this morning one time. They said, why do more people go to the movies than go to church? And the answer was this. The answer was, the movies do a tremendous job of making fake look real. Isn't that true? They do a tremendous job. Now, you got to hand it to them. They do a good job of making something fake look real. When I was in California, I saw them, me and Carrie saw them making some movies, I reckon movies, whatever. You'd see them, they're all over the place. They got these crew sets set up and these big lights and they're filming and everything. And they got this guy, you know, and they're always sitting on one of these stools with somebody messing with them, making them up, you know, and everything. And then they say, all right, get in place. And they get in place right here, and one of them holds the gun, and the other one lays down here like this, you know, saying, like this, and he says, all right, ready, action. No! Please don't! Please! Like that, you know. And boy, you know, when you're there watching that, you think, good night, you know, that ain't nothing. But when you see it on TV, you're into that thing. You're thinking, he's going to do it. Is he? Isn't he? Is he going to kill her? No, he ain't going to kill her. They're acting. See, old John Wayne, man, look at the times he's been shot. He got shot 1,000 times and beat up and shot in the chest and then never did limp. In the next movie, he'd be just as healthy as he could possibly be. I heard some woman come into church one time and had one of them, somebody on them soap operas was having trouble or something, and in the prayer room, she requested, please pray for so-and-so. They're having marriage problems. You know, she was having mental problems, what it was. I mean, she thought that stuff was real. You'd be surprised people would sit and watch a movie and sit there and just cry, you know. You get into it. You know why? They're doing a tremendous job of making fake look real. Now, I want to say the other part of that answer was that the church this morning is doing an equally tremendous job of making the real look fake. Amen? We're doing as good a job as they are. The only thing is, we're making the real thing look fake, and they're making something fake look real. Well, that's why I want you to, smile and sing a minute ago. Because, brother, listen, what we got is real this morning. What we got is alive this morning. We got something that ought to make us happy today. I mean, we shouldn't come to the house of God and saying, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I proved Him. Well, you look like you trust Him and proved Him more and more. What was that song we sang a minute ago? Oh, that special. More about Jesus? I just couldn't help but notice some faces. Here's the way you were going. More about Jesus. Oh, I dread it. Here we are in church. When will this be over? I mean, that was what was coming in your heart. Your mouth was saying, more and more, you know, His praises be and I love Him and all this kind of stuff. But in your heart, you were saying, this is the boringest thing I've done all week. More about what time is it? When will this be over? When will He hush? More, you know, all that's the way it is. Listen, we're doing a good job of making the real thing look fake. Hey, here today, you know who's here with us this morning? God. God Almighty. The God that made the worlds, the God that made the sun and the moon and the star is right here today. Oh, it's exciting to be in His presence. I'm saying to you this morning, are you living a lie? Let's talk about the lie of the unconsecrated life. The Bible said in that verse I read to you a minute ago, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, fellowship means that you have some things in common. You got to be interested in what He's interested in. When I got saved back in 1972, I found out that to have fellowship with God, you have to be interested in what God's interested in. Somebody said fellowship is two fellas in a ship. They're both together. They're both going the same direction. They both have a lot of things in common. And that's what fellowship is. Listen, you do not fellowship with God and fellowship with the devil in the world at the same time. You can't do it. That is an unconsecrated lie. Back in the, when I first got saved, the Jesus freak movement was real big. And a lot of hippies were getting saved back in those days. And I believe a lot of them really did get saved. But they formed what was called the Jesus movement. And out in California, they were bunches of them get saved. And they baptized them in the ocean. And they disassociated themselves with the organized church. And they would meet out on the beach, you know. And they would open their living Bibles. And they would play their little flat top guitars, and they would all fellowship and sing about Jesus. But you know what that crowd did? They never did break away from that old lifestyle. And it wasn't long till they were smoking some dope, you know, playing about Jesus. And it wasn't long until that, and they never did break from the old habits, the old look. Some of them still kept their hair way long, and they were up standing on stage singing about Jesus. And it's saying it don't matter what the outside's like, our lifestyle. He just sees in our heart. And all that sounded pretty good. But I'll tell you, as time went on, it proved to be a false doctrine. It proved to be an unstable movement. And a lot of those guys, you know, they didn't want to clean up, didn't want to get a haircut, they didn't want to look. They said, we don't want to believe in all this organized religion. I called them hypocrites back then. I said, there ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. They don't want to change their ways. They want to have fellowship with the Lord and still fit in with the world at the same time. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You can't do it. You say, well, you can't judge. I'm not judging you. I'm preaching to you. You don't know the difference. If you'd come to church more regularly, you'd know the difference between judging and preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend. The Bible says we have fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Fellowship means we have communion. You talk with somebody you fellowship with. What if you got up this morning and never spoke to your wife or husband? Don't drop your heads now, okay? We're not praying. I'll tell you when it's over. Listen, what if you got up this morning and you just got your clothes on, never spoke a word to your wife? She set your breakfast down, you never spoke to her, she never spoke to you. You never spoke all the way to church. You don't speak this evening. You don't speak tomorrow. Now, besides being a brat, which is what you are if you act like that, you're a brat that needs a good whipping, and you're too grown for anybody to whip, so we're just waiting for the Lord to whip you. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So when the little brat goes around the house not speaking for a day or two, what you don't understand is that you cannot have fellowship with your husband or wife if you fail to communicate with them. You can't do it. I mean, just say, hey, let's talk about this. Hey, let's pray about this. You say, I'm too mad, I don't want to talk. Ask God to forgive you for being a brat and get them down and say, let's pray anyway. Amen. You're a big grown boy, man. You're a big grown lady. You're too big, most of you. And I want to tell you what this morning, you cannot have communion with your mate and not speak to him. And the same holds true with God. You can't commune with God, have communion with God, and not talk to God. You got to speak to Him. Tell Him good morning. Ask Him to help you throughout the day. Ask God to help you in fellowship with Him. Amen. A lot of Christians are like a rotten apple. They're real shiny on the outside, look real good. Boy, if you opened that thing up, you'd see an old nasty, rotten core. That's the lie of an unconsecrated lie. Secondly, you'll notice in verse 8, if you'll look at it again, the lie of an unenlightened heart. Look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We say we have no sin. Have you ever met these people that according to them, they don't do nothing wrong? You ever been around anybody like that? They're never wrong. Everything they say is right. You say, well, haven't you done? Well, I've made a few mistakes in my life, but they never will admit what they are. They'll never tell you. I've known some people for years and years, and I've never heard them say I'm wrong yet. I've known some of you in here. It bothers me. Some of you I've known 10 years, and I've never heard you say you was wrong about anything. There's something wrong with a person like that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You say, well, I've been in church longer than you have. Yeah, but that don't mean nothing, buddy. This book said you deceive yourself if you think you're perfect and you never do nothing wrong. And brother, you say, I've never sinned. Oh, I failed a few times, but I've never sinned. You deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. We think we're so good. We think we are so wonderful. Because we help out the church. There's people all over McDowell County. They think they're just the finest person in the world. Hear them on TV sometimes. They'll get on there and they'll think, well, so-and-so, he done a concert and he donated all the money to the Red Cross. And you'd think, boy, they never do nothing wrong. He's a good person. Heard somebody on the other day on TV and it's taken up for Michael Jackson. They said Michael Jackson was a good person. That's the day we're living in, brother. That's the day we're living in. You say, well, you don't know if he's guilty or not. Well, about that charge, I don't. But he's been abusing kids for 15 years by his ungodly acts. And his songs, child abuse. Amen. His actions on stage are perverted and child abuse. Say amen right there. We're supposed to have Christians in here this morning. Hey, if we say we have fellowship with that and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Every once in a while I run into somebody and they say, well, I just ain't coming back to your church because you scream at me and I'm an adult. And I shouldn't be screamed at. Talk to me like a human being. Now, you know what that means? That means they need screaming at. I don't know any adults don't need preaching to. One lady up the street here one time, I went and visited her. She said, I want to ask you one question. Do you yell when you preach? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do. She said, I can't stand it. It just tears up my nerves. A few minutes later, I said, ma'am, do you go to ball games? She said, yes. I said, don't they yell there? She said, well, yes, but it's different. And you know what the difference is, don't you? It ain't the yelling that bothers people. It's what I'm a-yelling. You know, you don't mind people screaming. That don't bother you a bit. Hey, you're so-and-so, come on down. You watch that place go bonkers, man. Hey, whoever wins that ball game tonight, I don't know and I don't care. But I want to tell you what, brother. Hey, listen, whoever wins that ball game tonight, you want to see some fanatics? Would you like to see some fanatics? Hey, they paint their face half white and half whatever other color they are. Now, there's a fanatic. You want to see a fanatic? What if I come in here and half our faces painted black to match the Bible and the other half painted gold to match the trim on the Bible? And we went around in here and we said, ah! Ah! Okay, then you might say we're borderlining on fanatics. That screaming ain't what bothers you. It's what we're screaming. It's when we talk about your sins and your pastimes and your lifestyle. Hey, that's what you don't like. That's why you don't like screaming. One guy's up to altar praying one time. He's praying real loud. Oh, God, help him. And somebody said, he shouldn't scream when he prays like that. God's not deaf. And somebody turned around and said, he ain't nervous neither. Amen. Hey, it don't bother God, brother. Hey, this hollering don't bother God. Amen? Listen, that's a lie of an unenlightened heart. There's something wrong with you if you can scream like Comanche Indian at a sports event and in church you sit like a wooden Indian. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. You're living a lie, man. You're living a lie. Number three, the lie of an unrepented mind. The Bible said in verse 10, down there in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hey, brother, acting like you're right when you know good and well you're not right. Amen? That's right. Acting like you're not when you know you're not right. Go out and sin. Amen? That's what a lot of church, I've been around Christians a long time now. I've noticed a lot of Christians, they say are like wheelbarrows. They ain't no good unless somebody pushes them all the time. A lot of Christians are like canoes. They have to be paddled. A lot of Christians are like kites. You have to keep a string on them or they'll fly away from one Sunday to the next. They'll be over at the Friendly Tavern in Black Mountain this weekend and then over to in the church house, and you ought to keep a string on them all the time. Some are like footballs. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. Amen. Some of them are like balloons full of wind and ready to blow up at any time. Some of them are like trailers. You have to pull them or they don't never get nowhere. Some of them are like neon lights. They're on and off, on and off. On fire for God, living in sin. And then, thank God, some of them are like good watches. Open-faced, pure gold, quietly busy, full of good works, and always on time. Amen? What kind of Christian are you this morning on that scale? Parents who make their kids go to church, but they won't go themselves, are living a lie. Parents who tell their kids, "You, I better never catch you doing this," and then they do it, are living a lie. Parents who say, "But if I ever caught one of my kids doing this, I'd beat them half to death," and all that, and then they do it every day. Something wrong. You're just a big fake, man. Hey, parents who make kids work, but they won't work. I've been to houses where the kids had to do everything while mom and daddy laid around on the couch or something like that, are living a lie. Parents who say, "Don't let me hear you use bad language," when they use bad language, and then when they get, hey, it's a, you say, "Well, mommy, you said not to say that," and you said, "I don't care. I got mad and I had a reason to say it." No, you didn't. Amen. Hey, I've been in churches where, and it's no offense if you're really sick, but I've been in churches where people sit up and said, I mean, they took back pills, head pills, throat pills, neck pills, go to sleep pills, stay to sleep pills, wake up pills, stay awake pills, pills all, I mean, their house looked like a drug store in there, and then come in church and say, "Pray for my son, he's on dope." Have you ever thought about that? And they've been hooked on Darvon and all them nerve medicine for you. I'm not saying nothing bad. If you have to have medicine, you have to take, but listen, brother, some people are living a lie. Number four, the lie of an unbalanced life. Of an unbalanced life. You know what that means? Unbalanced words. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible that said, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings"? Over in the book of James, "These things ought not so to be." Amen. You say, "Well, I saw so-and-so boy, and boy, she wasn't talking like a Christian." But then she'll come in church and sing, "Holy, holy, holy." I can't sing like Katie. "Lord God Almighty." And then get out and say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. You just get out of my face right now." You know what that is? That's living a lie. Amen. The same God that can control your tongue here in this choir can control your tongue out there in that factory or over there in that restaurant or over there in that place of business or in the home with your kids and your mama and your daddy. Amen. You're living a lie. That's unbalanced words. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've heard all the excuses." This is awful. I've seen people, no offense, if you're guilty of this, I'm not talking about you. But I mean, it's the bad thing about knowing everybody in here, you know. No matter what I say, somebody here, I've seen people walking around feeling fine in the mall, man. And it be Saturday and say, "You gonna come to church tomorrow?" They say, "Well, if I feel like it." I don't mean to be ugly, man, but it's amazing what us preachers have to swallow. You know it? I mean, we can see them uptown, they're running town getting groceries, doing everything in the world. Say, "You'll be there at church in the morning." She said, "If I can get over this cold." Now you mean tell me you feel like driving to Asheville and you feel like walking around in the mall? Some of them grandmas walking around in Kmart. I mean, they look like they're in a coma, man. That's one of they ain't got an IV sticking in their arm. Walking around in there, look like, but boy, they can't sit in a church service for 1 hour and listen to a preacher preach. They just don't feel like making it then. They can go to every trade lot and every flea market in the country and muck through all that junk and pick over all that stuff, but just can't make it to the house of God and hear a message for 35, 40 minutes. Amen. You're living a lie, man. You ought to realize you're just making excuses. I liked what that one preacher said one time. He got up and he said, we're going to have no excuse Sunday next Sunday. To make it possible for everyone to attend church this Sunday, there will be a special no excuse day. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. We're going to have steel helmets given out for all those who say, the roof would cave in if I ever come to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think the church is too hot. We'll have hearing aids for them that say the preacher speaks too softly, and cotton for those who say he preaches too loud. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list all the hypocrites present. Some relatives will be in attendance for those who like to go visiting on Sundays. There will be TV dinners for them people who say they can't go to church and cook dinner too. One whole section of the auditorium will be devoted to trees and grass for all those who worship God in nature. Finally, the auditorium will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. Amen. That's the truth, brother. There's a lot of people ain't never been to church when they wouldn't have Christmas flowers out. They always have curtains in it every time you're out there because they're going to have a play that night. You're living a lie. I've heard of churches where you can join over the telephone and send your picture in to get baptized. Never show up. Never come. I can see them in the name of the Father's home. You know, dunking your picture in a cup of water. Hey, I heard down in Atlanta they had a drive-through confessional, man. Where you come and you just come through on Sunday morning if you're in a big hurry, confess your sins, go on. They call it toot and tail. I mean, you can just come, you can just confess your sins and go on and do whatever you want to do. Can you imagine that? Lord have mercy, brother. Hey, but we've got time for everything else but God. We've got time for everything else but the Lord and His house and His work. You're living a lie. Number 5, the lie of an unregulated walk. Verse 6 of chapter 2 says, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We've used this I'm not perfect excuse till we've wore it out. I know we're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect. But we ought to try every day of our life to get just as close to God as we can and do better today than we did yesterday. Amen? Don't ever get to the point in your Christian life where you think, well, I'm all right. I'm kind of happy with the way things are. It should never get like that. Brother John mentioned to me a while ago, he said, I want to be a better Sunday school teacher. Amen? Amen. He's never going to be perfect. I'm not either. We get to heaven, but we ought to do better today than we did yesterday. I ought to try harder this Sunday than I tried last Sunday. I ought to go home and grit my teeth this evening and pray and say, God, I want to preach harder tonight than I did this morning. Amen. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. He empowers us to walk by the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8 said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Listen, don't ever be ashamed or afraid to let God move on you in a service. If I believe we've had services in here just in the last few weeks. Man, last Sunday night, wasn't that sweet? What God done, had all these young people up here. Lord moved in here. My, we had a great time. Listen, Don't ever be afraid. I've seen people fight back the Spirit of God because they think, oh, well, I'm in a hurry and I got to go here. If God ever wants, I've seen women and girls do like this during the service and they'd quench the Spirit of God because they're afraid if they really break loose and start crying, all that old black stuff's just going to start running down their face. Man, I like to see it where they got big black streaks down through there, man. I've seen it out there at camp and everything. Boy, where they get up and look like a zebra, man. I mean, they'd jump up and boy, just have it all. I say, go ahead, girls, forget it. Let that face run off. You can go to Walmart and buy you a brand new mask tomorrow and everything will be all right. Just let God have His way. Let the Lord move on you. Don't fight back conviction. Don't fight God off. My soul, man. You can buy you a new face. Listen, get in on the good stuff. Number six, and this will be last. The lie of an unloving attitude. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. Yep, just a hair, but look at chapter 2 and verse 9. The lie of an unloving attitude. Chapter 2 and verse 9, if I got it right, said, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. There's a lot of Christians that are living a lie because they claim that they're walking with God and yet hate each other. You can't do it. It's impossible. I cannot walk with God and hate this brother here or this sister here or this brother here. I can't do it. You say, Brother Danny, I just hate so-and-so's guts. Well, you say, well, but I'm right with God. No, you're not either. You're not right with God. I read you out of the Bible. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. You have to love every saved individual in this world to have fellowship with God and not be living a lie. Amen, Christian? You shouldn't have a hard time with that. You say, well, Brother Danny, you just don't know what so-and-so did to me. I've asked people tell me, they say, how do you love so-and-so after what they've done to you? Here's how you do it. I'm going to tell you the secret. Anytime you catch yourself hating somebody or feeling feelings towards somebody you shouldn't feel, you just start thinking all that God's put up with from you. You start thinking all the time God's forgive you when you didn't deserve to be forgiven. And you just get down on your knees and thank God that He don't treat you like you treat them. Amen? Hey, you're a sinner that ought to be in hell this morning. You ought to thank God that God ain't the same way with you. You are with that other individual. You better have a little mercy, brother. You better have a little forgiveness. You better have a little love. You say, well, so-and-so done something to me and they never have told me they're sorry. Well, you forgive them and forget it. And listen, it'll be their problem. It's their problem. They'll answer to God for it. I've had people... Good night. I hear it all the time, every week, and I'm sure many of you do too. You know what you got to do? You just got to say, well, Lord, I prayed for some people this morning that probably about hate my guts. I named off some preachers this morning when I was praying, and I didn't plan on telling you this. I didn't do it so I could, I mean, it just popped in my mind. This morning when I was praying for the service, I thought about some preachers. And I know a lot of these preachers have actively, even from the pulpit, attacked me in this church. And I got down this morning, I said, Lord, bless them. Lord, just bless them real good. Give them a good day. Lord, bless them. Because I'm not going to let any man, by the grace of God, cheat me out of having my walk with God by making me hate him. Amen. I'm not going to do it. Life's too short. Jesus is too sweet. The Holy Ghost is too good. Go through life with that junk in your heart. I heard about a man who had a lot of hate in his heart. He used to beat his wife and his kids. Had hatred, full of hate. You ain't walking with God if you're mean to your wife and your kids. I don't care if you can say the loudest hallelujah of anybody at church. I don't care if you walk a straight line while you're up here in front of us. If you're mean to your wife and kids, you're living a lie, man. This guy used to beat his wife, beat his kids, cuss them, talk to them ugly. One night he got under conviction. He got his Bible down and he started read his Bible all night long. He got down, he started reading that Bible. He said, God, I'm tired of living like this. God saved that man. He got right. Now he's been in the ministry 15 years, been a preacher. You know what? He quit living a lie.
He said, I'm going to have to get my act together. I'm going to get right with God. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm trying my best to live right, but I still mess up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just deliberately putting on a big act while you're here at church, knowing good and well that your life lives another way. Are you living a lie? God, speak to somebody here this morning. There's somebody here this morning. You're sitting there saying, he's talking to me. And this might be your chance to get with it. Just sell out and get right with God. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You say, well, preacher, there's no way in the world I could go to the altar after you preaching all that. People think I was awful. No, we wouldn't. I wouldn't think it was awful. I'd admire you for being honest. We all need to be in this altar. We all need to be seeking God and saying, oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. We all do. We all need to say, God, help me not to live a lie. Help my walk to match my talk. Help my lips to match my heart. I don't want to live a lie. Some are coming already this morning. Maybe there's others that you've been kind of drifting. You've not been what God wants you to be. If you need to come this altar, you just slip right out of your seat and come right now. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. That's right. That's right. Others, just move right now. Come on. Right now. Just get out of your seat and come. Are you right with God? Are you right with God this morning? Are you living a lie? Listen, we're here to do business with God this morning, friend. And we are doing business with God. Thank God for many that are coming this morning. Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to live a lie. I want to be real. I don't want to be a big fake. I don't want to be a hypocrite. God, I want to be for real. I don't want to be one of those people that acts like I'm so right with God and deep down inside I'm just a big fake. God, I don't want to be that. How long has it been, friend, since you've been right with God? Have you hardened your heart? Have you hardened your heart and said, I just made up my mind, I'm just going to live this way. I don't care what you say, what no preacher says. I'm just going to live. Oh, friend. Give you for what you've done. Dear Lord, move in our hearts this morning. Thank you, God, for the Word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, this morning. Put us in line. Forgive us where we're wrong. Forgive us, Lord, for living a lie. Lord, help us, help our walk to match our talk. Help us to be that you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing while these are praying. Thank God. Let's sing. Thank God. Let's sing now. Come on, everybody.
Just as
everybody, sing it out.
Of God I come.
sing one more verse this morning before we go. This is something you got to watch out for in our generation. We're living in a day of actors. We're living in a day when it's easy to put on a front. But God knows your heart this morning. If you're right with God and you know it in your heart, hallelujah, praise God, amen. Don't worry about it. Don't let nobody tell you you're not. But if deep down you know you're not right, why don't you get right this morning? I've never seen a time like we're living in. It's a strange time. It's scary. Things have changed in the last 3 years. Amazingly. It's amazing how much different the world is just in the last 3 years. We're going to have the goods to be able to stand for God like the Lord wants us to. I hope and pray that our church will be what God wants it to be. One more verse while these are still praying maybe and others are doing business with God. Let's sing. One more verse.
As I am, thou wilt receive.
Amen.
Wilt well.
Hitch right here. No choir practice this evening. Tonight, 7 o'clock, the Glory Bowl right here. Be here. The youth choir will be singing. And boy, you want to see who wins, don't you? Be here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Bring somebody with you tonight. Youth choir will be singing. Fellowship. Good time in the Lord.